This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. An honor student. A beautiful teen girl, Ariana Trasinski, stabbed dead in her neck. The only other person in the room, her boyfriend, walks free. I can't wait to play this body cam for you. The sheriff comes in and says, "You're free." He goes, "What?" I'm saying the same thing. "What?" And to make it worse, the sheriff goes on to actually scold the victim, Ariana's parents, calling her mother hysterical, demanding that her, the teen girl, stabbed dead, parents, put themselves in the boyfriend's parents' shoes. How would you feel if this were your son accused of murder? I don't know, but I know how I feel tonight. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
So listen to me. What happened?
I don't know what happened.
Okay, listen to me. Sir, is someone hurt? You need to tell me yes or no. Is someone hurt?
Yes, my daughter's bleeding. That's her neck is cut. My daughter's neck is cut.
I
what happened?
She was upset.
She
got a knife, dude.
Who has a knife? Someone, I can't understand what's going on.
Wait a minute. Who am I hearing state, I effed up? Because I'm hearing the 911 operator. I'm hearing Mr. Tarsinski, Ed to us, saying, OMG, I don't know what happened. And then I hear a voice stating, I effed up. Straight out to two special guests joining us. Ariana Trasinski's parents. Now, keeping in mind, Ariana, honor grad, all A's, her whole life in front of her. She's alone in the room with her boyfriend, and I'm pretty sure that's him screaming, "I effed up," straight out to Mr. and Mrs. Trasinski, Ariana's parents, Judy and Ed Trasinski. First to you, Mrs. Trasinski. I thought I knew all about grieving when my fiancé was murdered before our wedding. Then I had my children. I cannot imagine the hell you have been through since this happened. And to make matters worse, you two get scolded by the sheriff. I'll get to that. I want to go back to the night of Ariana's death. Mrs. Trasinski, what happened?
We had just gotten back from a family dinner, and we started opening up gifts. We all exchanged gifts. Ramon had gifts for us. We had gifts for him, and everything was going perfect. Just a regular night, opening up
Are
gifts.
Are you referring to Ramon Calderon Durst?
Yes.
And is that who I hear screaming on the 911 call, effed up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Please go ahead, ma'am.
So my husband went into the garage to work on something. My little daughter went into her room, watched TV. I ended up going to bed. And after that, you know, I was sleeping. So this is when Eddie comes in. He's in the bathroom changing. And he'll...
I just hear Ramon, Eddie, I screwed up. And he has... Ariana by the throat, like holding her neck and her back of her hair. And she's just her eyes. I can like, it's like, "Dad, help me," and you can't help. It's the worst. There's blood coming out of her mouth.
She was still alive at this time?
Yeah, she
Ariana was alive.
Yes. She walked to the room with him grabbing her neck. And I like her eyes, like, "Dad, help me," but she couldn't talk. She had blood everywhere. And then I grabbed, there was the last hug I got from her, because that's where she passed out from the loss of blood in my arms. So, yeah.
Let me understand, because this is, it's different than I visualized it when I've listened to all the audio, I've listened to the body cam, I've listened to you being mistreated, Mrs. Trasinski, because you're, quote, hysterical. So He, the boyfriend, walks in, and I'm referring to Ramon Calderon Durst, now 25. They come into the room, and he's, what, behind her?
He's, like, behind her, grabbing, like, the back of her neck and the back of her hair like this, saying, I effed up, I effed up. And Ariana just, she couldn't talk. But her eyes, it was horrible. So what I did is I got Judy to just try to stop the bleeding, because she passed out in my arms from the loss of blood. Until I put her on the floor, got Judy.
I was putting pressure,
and I wanted to get him away from everyone. I didn't know what he was capable of, to be honest with you. So I told him, don't open the door, lock the door, don't open the door. Got him outside, and that's when we started going at it. And then my neighbor got involved. We heard the screams.
It all started as my wife and I were putting presents under the tree. We could hear screams. It took us a second to realize what was going on, but then we heard them louder, and they were chilling. I went out the back door trying to figure out where the noise was coming from, and after a few moments, I heard the direction of the screams and started running that way. Then I heard the door open, and I heard Eddie shouting for help. He said, "F***ing killed her." He slit her throat, saw a man come out of the house covered in blood. I was in shock. I couldn't believe what I had just seen. It all went so fast, but felt like time had stopped. Eddie was yelling, "You slit her throat. She's dead." The man kept saying, "You just need to put pressure on it. I know I f***ed up, but you just need to put pressure on it." Eddie continued to yell at him, "You f***ing killed my daughter." The man was getting agitated, and at this time I realized he looked crazy. Eddie started to go back in the house to see if he could help. The man then says, "I f***ed up. I know I f***ed up. What does it matter? I'm going to jail for life anyway." And then he proceeds to go after Eddie.
That's the neighbor, Thomas LaBianco, on Facebook, telling what he saw. It's almost too much to take in. So the dad hears a ruckus. The little sister sees her older sister, Ariana, being dragged down the hallway. And her neck is sliced open. How can this be? Straight out to renowned medical examiner, Dr. Kendall Crowns. He is the chief medical examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, high volume in the morgue. He is a star of a hit podcast, Mayhem in the Morgue, and he is the esteemed lecturer at Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, thank you for being with us. Could you describe the injuries this teen girl, honor grad, suffered?
So she had a single stab wound to the neck that was about a half inch or so, and that was on the left side. Then she had two stab wounds to the back of the head that were a similar size, roughly about a half inch to the back of the right side of her head. This stab wound on the left side of the neck, based on what the family is saying, that she had blood coming out of her mouth, it's more likely than not it enters in, going through the jugular vein, carotid, and then hitting the trachea or the area where the vocal cords are, which would make it difficult for her to speak and would also explain why she had blood coming out of her mouth, because the stab wound's pathway would have made a track that communicated between her blood vessels and her trachea or her windpipe, then causing blood to come out of her mouth. That type of injury, if it involved both the jugular and carotid, she would bleed out in less than 5 minutes.
Okay, Dr. Kendall Crowns, I have no reason to doubt anything that you just said, but we're just mere mortals. So if you could slow it down, dummy down for me, and if you don't mind, start over, because I can't go forward unless I understand exactly the nature of the wounds. What did jump out at me as probative, other than the wounds to her neck, were the wounds above the top of her left shoulder and cuts to the right side of the back of her head, which sounds physically impossible for her to have committed herself. Now, very slowly, could you explain again the nature of Ariana, teen girl Ariana's wounds, and with the backdrop that the boyfriend keeps blurting out, I up. Go ahead.
Let's start with the wounds to the back of the head. If you're stabbing someone in the back of the head, you're going to hit skull. So you have to put a lot of force into the knife to actually break the skull, especially in the back of the head. Usually the knife will break. So you don't typically have stab wounds penetrating into the skull when they are at the back of the head. Then the wound on the neck, it's going to involve the jugular vein, the carotid, and the larynx or trachea or the windpipe. And the jugular vein and the carotid sit pretty much next to each other. And these are the jugular veins taking blood right here on your neck.
That's the jugular. Where's the carotid?
Jugular right next to it. So this big muscle right here is the sternocleidomastoid muscle. Right underneath it is your jugular vein and carotid. If you push hard enough and you start feeling a pulse, you're feeling your carotid. So it's really close to the skin surface. That gets hit. It's the major vessel taking blood to your brain, and the jugular is the major vessel taking blood away from your vein. So these are two very important structures, and they bleed quite heavily once they're hit, and you are going to die relatively quickly unless you can put pressure on it and hold that pressure in place and get immediate medical aid. But it sounds to me, based on the blood coming out of the mouth, that the wound tract actually kept going and then punctured her trachea or her windpipe, and then she was getting blood into that as well. So there would be no way to stop it at that point because she's hemorrhaging internally along with it.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Dr. Kendall Crowns, you said the wound track extended toward the trachea, which is your windpipe, as I understand it. The wound track. You mean the stab. The wound track. He stabbed into, reportedly, stabbed into her neck all the way through her trach?
Correct. That would be, based on what's being said, the information we have, that's what it sounds like. That is correct.
So it goes in the side of her neck and goes all the way through her trachea. So she's bleeding into her windpipe, and that's why she can't tell Dad, Ed, anything. She's trying to speak. He says he looks at her eyes, and he feels she's trying to communicate, help me, Daddy. But she can't speak because her trachea has been harmed.
Correct. I mean, the vocal cords sit right here in the middle of your neck. They're kind of covered by the thyroid cartilage or your Adam's apple. And so any wounds that hit that are going to compromise your ability to speak.
Very quickly, Mrs. Torsinski, was Ariana left or right-handed?
She was right-handed.
Okay, Dr. Kendall Crowns, what significance does that have, if any?
So typically when we are discussing suicides where someone stabs themselves, handedness matters because you have to be able to stab yourself on the area of your body that you can reach more accessibly with your hand. Right-sided, you're going to stab more to the left side of your body. Left side, you'll do more because it's awkward. But when you're talking about left side of neck, it's difficult to move the knife into place to get the left side of your neck. Now, if you were left-handed, it would make sense. You just stab into the left side of your neck. Right-handed, it's more difficult to go left neck. And plus, back ahead with the right hand makes no sense as well. So it's like you have this awkward stab wound here, stab wounds to the back of the head. It makes sense why they called it a homicide, because there's no real reason to say otherwise that she stabbed herself in the back of the head and then the neck.
I could see in his face that he was guilty and was about to cause more harm. I thought to myself, I wasn't going to let anyone else get hurt or lose their life. I hit the man. I was amazed he did not fall. He stumbled, though, and I got in front of him and hit him a couple more times. It was adrenaline or drugs, but this guy was out of his mind. I hit him harder than I've hit anything in my life, and he didn't fall. But he finally went to the ground, and at that moment, my 18-year-old son pulled me back towards the house. The 911 operator told my wife, if everyone is in the house, to lock the door and stay inside. The police will be coming through the gate any minute. Well, they did come through that gate, but instead of treating the family like victims of a crime, they were treated like criminals. Thrown to the ground with guns drawn and tossed in the back of patrol cars, taken from their dying daughter.
That is the neighbor, Thomas LaBianco, on Facebook telling what happened that night. Mr. and Mrs. Tarsinski, so 911, they get there, the officers get there, and instead of rendering aid to your daughter, they throw you guys on the ground and pull their guns on you?
Well, they pulled me off of my daughter when I was applying pressure to her wound, and they threw him to the ground with...
They told me ten officers came into the house, and I'm crying hysterical, please help my daughter, please help my daughter. So the guy with the AR-15 says, get on the ground. And I'm like, help my daughter, I'm not gonna tell you again. So I get on the ground. I got four officers on me. One officer with the AR-15 got it at my head with his knee on my head. I'm like, I called you guys. Stop resisting. We'll do all that. And then they throw me in the car in handcuffs. I'm like, why am I in handcuffs? Nobody gives you answers. Nobody talks to you. Nobody even knows you. You bang on the window. What's going on with your daughter? My wife's in another car. My daughter's somewhere else. Everyone's spread out.
They actually, I tried to run back in after they pulled me off of her.
Yes.
And a police officer grabbed me and threw me to the ground.
He literally picked her up. We have the pictures. She has a bruise on her shoulder and a bruise on her hip. He literally picked her up and slammed her on the ground because she was trying to go in to help her daughter.
And then I was left in a police car for 6 hours begging them to let me use the bathroom, and they wouldn't let me. I had to relieve myself in the back of the patrol car.
Like an animal.
That's how we were treated, like animals.
Joining us, veteran criminal defense attorney, founder of Morse Legal, author of The Untested on Amazon. You can find him at morselegal.com. Greg, I know where you're going. You've won a lot of cases as a defense attorney. But the treatment of the parents here, which is a whole nother can of worms, a whole nother bear I got to tackle. But can we just address that? Leaving the mother of the girl bleeding out in the back of the patrol car, the woman, I get the man. Hey, at first, they don't know who the aggressor is, so all the men are thrown to the ground. I got it. But they get the mom in the back of the cruiser and leave her there 6 hours till she finally urinates in the back of the cruiser? Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's terrible, especially looking in hindsight, but when police show up on a scene, sure, people call, people say, hey, we're the callers, we're, you know, here for the victim, we didn't do anything wrong. Police don't actually know that. So they have to get control of the scene, they have to separate everybody, calm it down, and then start doing their investigation. While it seems a bit over the top to take the mom from her daughter who was bleeding without having paramedics on scene to take over or an officer to give life-saving treatment to her daughter. But it's not unusual to separate people and arrest them, but just keep them in a patrol car, keep them away from the scene until they figure out what's going on. It seems a little aggressive here in this situation with mom and locking her in a patrol car where she has to use the bathroom. But it's not unusual for them to calm everything down or at least separate everybody and then start investigating and find out what happened, because they don't know what happened when they show up.
You hear me? I know you do. Please, please. Why are you doing this?
You hear me?
My baby! Please! Please! I need my baby. What's going on with my older daughter? Please, please tell me, please. Can you tell me, please?
You need to know what's going on with him.
What?
You said you had a question. What do you need to know?
What's going on with my older daughter?
I told you, she's at the hospital. She had a blood transfusion and she was stable, and that was almost...
I need to be with her! Please, why am I in here?
I told you multiple times, I'm not gonna keep going over this with you. As soon as we're done asking questions, you're gonna be
okay, they're not asking questions. questions, though. Okay. Nobody's asked me anything.
Keep coming here and asking me questions, but they're not giving me...
When? One guy came to me. Please do not shut the door on me.
Then you need to calm down.
One person came. It's my daughter. Please understand me. It was her daughter. Please.
Mrs. Tarsinski, that is so painful to hear you begging to get to your daughter who is dying. What happened?
I don't know why they had me in there for so long. I can't explain it. I just don't know why I was locked in there, why they wouldn't let me be with her, why I couldn't go to the hospital with her.
Why am I in handcuffs?
He was in handcuffs in another patrol car. My 12-year-old daughter was in another patrol car.
I get the separation thing. I do, because when you come to a scene, you don't know what's going on. I get that. But these guys are detectives. They're part of the elite. When they... You kind of get a gist of what's going on. And why do I have to go to the police station and make a report when I didn't want to? I just wanted to be with my daughter. No, you have to go. Why do I have to go? We can't do this later. Why can't I be with my daughter? No. And even when I was let loose, they gave him a ride back to my house, Ramon. But me, I had to find a ride from the police station. It was just...
They took all of my husband's clothes.
Yeah. To do the forensics on me, and they'll, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sitting there naked, had to wait for somebody to bring clothes to me. Meanwhile, they give him a jumpsuit, and he's taken care of, and it's just, you can't even make this up. It's absolutely the craziest thing ever.
And then they tell us, don't speak about this at all. Don't put anything on Facebook. Don't go on social media. This needs to be kept hush hush, or else you guys are going to ruin the case.
You can ruin the case if you don't want talk. That. Exactly. And that was what we were told. So here we are, not saying a word because we're thinking that they're
working on it,
working, doing the right thing. But it was totally the opposite. They weren't doing anything because they still felt that Arianna did it to herself, because they were telling people when they called, even the news people, they say it was a suicide, and it was nothing like that.
While Arianna's parents are being treated like criminals, like animals, the mother begging to get to her daughter who is dying, all the while, the boyfriend is whining about how he's going to get sex molested behind bars. Listen.
I'm going to get raped in prison. Why do they do that? Why is it so brutal and violent? I deserve it. Can't imagine your father. Can't imagine my mother. Can't imagine the families. How am I supposed to go on? Officer Dowdell?
Yeah. I couldn't hear you.
How do you think one goes on?
Huh?
How do you think one goes on in a situation like this?
I don't know the situation. That's why it's kind of hard for me to give you an answer.
I love her. I don't want to get raped. What do you think about that?
About what?
The violence and rape in prison?
I have no idea about it.
You don't?
No. We don't deal with that system.
Yes, but there's been countless documentaries and interviews and articles about it. It's a prevalent thing in the media and the public eye. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's not talked about a lot.
So you acknowledge it?
I mean, it's there.
Do you hold contempt for prisoners and criminals? Malice, hatred, spite? Do you hate criminals?
I don't hate anybody.
No? Oh, this is all recorded. It's embarrassing. Can't believe any of it. Look at me. I deserve everything. Hatred of the world brought down upon me. No one will have mercy for me. No one. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have mercy for me either.
Why doesn't he just take out a billboard on 3rd Avenue? I did it. The medical examiner says it's homicide. It's not suicide. It's not accident. It's not natural causes. It's homicide. He's practically begging for the death penalty. To you, Greg Morse, I deserve it. I can't imagine the family. I can't imagine her family. So brutal, so violent. I deserve it. I deserve to be right behind bars for what I did. I'm so sorry for what I did. I deserve everything. It's a confession. Why is he not being prosecuted, well, Morse?
I can't answer that. I think you're right that there was probable cause if police wanted to do that.
Okay,
however,
please
I will
stop.
Say this.
Hold on. Is Greg Morse actually stuttering?
No.
I've never
That's
heard you stutter before, not once. And all the years I've
feed.
Known you, and all the years we've argued, in all the court cases you have ever handled and won, I've never once heard you stutter,
sure.
except right then. What?
Well, it is. It's when you see the statements, you know the standard for probable cause to arrest someone is next to nothing. It doesn't take a lot. However, what I would say is this. When you look at the statements that were made, these aren't necessarily confessions to I intentionally killed this young girl. This could be a murder-suicide pact. This could be a host of different things that he's upset about that isn't intentionally trying to kill this
up.
Young girl. So you're adding
So context you think she stabbed herself
statements.
In the back of the head?
What I think is that based on the way the, because the prosecution made the decision not to arrest or charge, not the only the police. The police kicked this over to the prosecution to make that decision. And in the letter, they say that this was a negligent act that caused this. So based on everything I saw in this
okay,
case
hold on.
The prosecution
Wait a second.
Did some
That's a good point. That's a good point. And let's go to the expert, not the sheriff, not a clerk in the district attorney's office, but to a medical examiner, the chief medical examiner, the esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Let's ask him, okay, how could multiple stab wounds be an accident? Because the medical examiner at the time said this is a homicide. But you hear these things coming out of Morse's mouth that do not reconcile with what the medical examiner said, Dr. Kendall Crowns.
So multiple stab wounds being an accident. I mean, I've only heard of a handful of cases in which a person holding a knife and someone accidentally gets stabbed or runs into the knife. But in those cases, it's all singular. For there to be two stab wounds in the back of the head and a stab wound to the neck, to me, if it's not a suicide, it's got to be a homicide. And based on what we've talked about already, it sure looks like a homicide to me. Again, accidental stab wounds, you just don't see it very often. And when you do, it's like one wound shallow. It's not multiple wounds and then one being very deep.
You said if there's an accidental stabbing, accidental, it's shallow. But didn't you just tell me that the wound track, as you called it, went through her neck, jugular, carotid, through her trachea? That is not shallow. That is intentional. That takes force, velocity. That is not an accident. She didn't fall on a knife into her neck. That's total BS. I mean, I'm just a trial lawyer. You're the MD, but that is not an accident.
Well, I was agreeing with you, Nancy. I feel it is a very deep wound. It doesn't look shallow to me based on the information we have. So in no way do I think this is an accident at all. Three stab wounds, it's not an accident. It's that deep stab wound to the left side of her neck, right-handedness, it's not a suicide. It's not natural, so it's got to be a homicide.
You know, another thing that I promised you when we first started tonight, I want you to see the look on this guy's face, Durst, when he's told he's going to walk free. He's like, what? Watch it.
All right. Took the handcuffs off you? All right, listen, we're going to get you out of here. We looked into the case a little bit further, and we're not charging you with anything.
What?
We're not going to charge you anything right now. Okay? We're going to look into it a little further, make sure some things are the way they're supposed to be, so you're going to get out of here.
What? What? So, Greg Morse isn't the only one that stuttered. I got to see that again. Can I see that one more time, please?
All right. Took the handcuffs off you? All right, listen, we're going to get you out of here. We looked into the case a little bit further, and we're not charging you with anything.
What?
We're not going to charge you anything right now. Okay? We're going to look into it a little further, make sure some things are the way they're supposed to be, so you're going to get out of here.
Do you see his T-shirt? Straight out to Judy and Ed Torsinski, Ariana's parents. His T-shirt is covered in her blood, your daughter's blood. He said, I'm sorry. I deserve it. I can't believe what I did. They're letting him go. Even he can't believe it, Ed.
It's unbelievable that they, and they try to like make it seem like he's innocent and give a reason why he's innocent. And I don't understand why, because he has my daughter's blood all over him. I mean, he was just dumbfounded. He was like, and not only that, but then they drive him to our home to get his car keys after that. And I had to find a ride from the police station. And then at 6:30 in the morning, I get, hey, I got good news. And what could possibly be good? Oh, your daughter made it through surgery. We didn't even know she was in surgery. It's just unbelievable. It really is.
Just the way the detectives handled everything, they left evidence behind. They left his wallet. They left bloody sheets with his handprints on them.
And when I said this to them, they said, well, we have pictures of it, but that's not, pictures don't do with the DNA. You know what I mean? It just doesn't.
I just feel like it was Christmas Eve. All the rookies were working and they botched the case. They messed up a lot.
Nobody rendered aid to her.
Nobody rendered aid. They actually closed my bedroom door because my dog was sitting in there with her. They closed the door and she bled out.
But it also says in one of the reports that an officer checked to see if she had vitals, which she had a very low pulse. But then they still closed the door and left her there to bleed out.
No one rendered aid.
And they tried to say that they did, but when the medics came in, they said there was nobody even near her side at all.
Medics had to open our bedroom door and grab her by the foot and slide her out.
So you're saying she could have lived. Dr. Sherry Schwartz joining us, forensic psychologist specializing in capital mitigation, and she's the author of a bestseller, Criminal Behavior and Where Law and Psychology Intersect. Dr. Sherry, I want you to watch this.
What does this mean?
Right now, they're not being charged. You think we want to screw you, but that's not the case. We want to make sure we do everything right. So if there's something that you need to be held responsible for, you will be. But if there's not, you won't be. So instead of rushing into something and doing all this stuff, we decided to back up and take our time a little bit and look into it a little bit further. Because there's always things maybe we don't know about. Okay?
What? What do they not know about? Okay, Dr. Sherry Schwartz, I wanted you to take all of this in. Again, they say, we're not arresting you. And he goes, what? Why? It's so obvious, doctor.
And he continues to ask them why, right? Instead of just saying, oh, okay, let me get out of here. He continues to ask, well, wait, why? What is it that, I said that makes you think I didn't do it? Because he did a lot of talking in the back of that police car. And what he never said was that she did it to herself or that they had a murder-suicide pact or any of the other nonsensical excuses that have been thrown out there by this agency and by the state attorney's office in that jurisdiction. This boy never said those things. What he said was, I'm going to be raped in prison. I'm going to prison. And I'm embarrassed by what I've done.
He said all of that and more and starts whining about how he's going to be treated behind bars where he knows, apparently, he should be. Dr. Sherry, watch this.
That way I'll give you just something to get back to the house with, and then your car's there and everything, so, you know, you can grab your car and do what you need to do.
Yeah, all my stuff, like my wallet, my keys, my bag, my clothes, everything else.
Okay, well, we got some things that we're going to do at the house, but I don't see any reason why you can, once we do our initial stuff, we can't get you that to get out of here.
I'm going to have him leave in like 15 minutes, and the only reason you're leaving 15 minutes behind me is that I don't want her family and you interacting, you know what I mean?
Are they there?
I don't know that they're there, but I don't. What I would like to do is just get there. When you pull up in his truck, I hand you your keys, and then you can get the hell out of there. You know what I mean?
Can I have my wallet and my phone?
I can get your wallet. Right now, the phone's in the crime scene. I can only pick up your keys because I'm getting you out of there. You know what I mean? We still have yet to process the scene and pick up stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm willing to give you the car keys at this point, okay?
Mr. and Mrs. Tarsinski, what in the hell is happening?
You know, we don't even know. It's just, we still can't believe it. Like, this is, you see how he had a jumpsuit? He's treated like, well, me, I was sitting there in the police station nude because they wouldn't give me a jumpsuit, and I had to find a ride. And they're treating him like gold, even though he just said that he did it. It still blows my mind that I don't understand still. And they try to brainwash you and say, well, the reason why we did is because your daughter's drawings were really morbid. Like, she used to like drawing. She drew a lot of like horror things and a lot of gory things, but she was great at doing it. Like, somebody draws a vase of roses. That's what they were using.
That's her style of drawing, but they found drawings from years ago. And they said, well, she looked like
she did it to herself.
She might have done this to herself.
Yeah, because of her drawing.
Hold on, yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Tarsinski. I don't care if she drew Lucifer in the middle of a pentagram. I don't care. What I care about is what the evidence shows me. She should not be treated differently because she's a horror flick buff. I don't care. I don't care if she's a Girl Scout. Don't care. And I don't care if he's an angel from heaven. If he's an angel, I'll put cuffs on his hands and I'll use a rope for the wings. So what I don't get right here is why he is walking free today. Refresher to Dr. Kendall Crowns. What did the medical examiner say at the time?
That she had a stab wound on the left side of the neck, about a half inch, 2 stab wounds on the back side of the head. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but she had bruising on her forearm as well. So she had a very deep stab wound of her neck that goes through her jugular, carotid, and probably enters into her trachea. Again, these are not accidental, and it's, to me, not suicidal. It looks like a homicide. And if we're going to base suicide on some drawings that a high school student made, everybody in forensics probably has drawn something like that in their lifetime. So it's meaningless.
To Judy and Ed Tarsinski, you were actually scolded by the sheriff. What happened?
So the sheriff of Hernando County, Al Niehaus, he actually sent us a letter saying, giving us reason, double jeopardy, you have to take this slow, but then got into, well, what happens if this was your son? Put the shoe on the other foot. Like, how are you going to tell us put the shoe on the other foot? It's just mind-boggling how they really don't care. They don't care. They never have. And then after that, they close your case. You know, and
they constantly told us,
we're going to get him. We're going to get him.
We're going to get him.
Don't you worry.
We promise you, he'll be behind bars. Just let her toxicology come out.
When Ariana was first in the hospital, I came outside my father, because I asked him, I said, do I need a lawyer? And he's like, no, we know he did this. You know, your daughter's in a bad place. But, you know, she's going to pass, and she was. And he goes, we want to get the maximum charge. We want to go for murder, not attempted. You know what I mean? And we're like, okay, fine. And that came and went. And then when you ask him, see, they wouldn't give us any information. Every time we asked them for information, they said, this is an ongoing investigation. We don't have to give you any information It doesn't matter if you're the parent, whoever you are, you can be the president of the United States. It doesn't matter. You know, and meanwhile, we're left in the dark.
Right.
He's free will. They won't give us any answers.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I know what I am seeing in the body cam, and I've shown you a lot, but it actually gets worse and more damning for him. Listen.
Can I just say something? Can we have a little back and forth real quick?
Let's have back and forth. All right.
My life's over right now.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. You see what the situation
is. I don't know what the situation is. I've been outside with you.
Okay. What do you think the situation is?
I don't know. I don't want to assume.
Do you see what I'm covered in?
See, he doesn't say, she committed suicide. This was a suicide murder pact. Nothing like that. He's saying, can't you see the situation? I'm covered in her blood, but critically, listen.
All right, hold tight. I fucking slipped, man. I slipped and it's all over.
Huh? I couldn't hear you.
I fucking slipped on that wet bed and it's all over.
You slept in the bed.
I slipped on the bed. I slipped on the bed. Look, we got a whole ride. We got a whole ride.
Quote, I stabbed her neck. I slipped on the bed. I slipped on the wet bed. It's all over. I slipped on the bed. I slipped on the bed. It goes on and on. He did not slip multiple times. To you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, he did not slip, S-L-I-P, multiple times and stab her over and over and over in the neck.
Correct. If he slipped on the bed, there would be a single stab wound if he hits the back of her head or hits her neck. But there are three stab wounds. He didn't get up, slip again, get up and slip again. That's almost comical to think of. She may have even been trying to defend herself by putting up her arm, and that's why she has bruises on her forearm. Again, the medical examiner in Florida called it a homicide, and I completely agree with that.
Guys, believe it or not, in addition to him saying, I stabbed her neck, caught on camera, for Pete's sake, listen to this.
I don't know if you're being honest with me or anything, but what is the crime like specifically here?
You keep asking what the crime like.
Yes, I do. Why? Do you know what federal prison I'd go to? Excuse me?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you've done.
Yeah, I know. Is there only one in Florida, one federal prison?
Straight out to Dr. Sherry Schwartz. Can it be any more clear? I stabbed her in the neck. Do you know what federal prison I'm going to? Did you hear that?
I heard it.
What does
it.
He have to do? Rent a helicopter and do skywriting? I mean, it's so clear.
Very clear to me, the more I listen to him, that he has thought about going to prison. He seems to know things about prison that the general public doesn't know, where he's thinking about violence in prison and asking the officer, who himself doesn't know about prison, and he works in the field. So this is a very troubling picture of this young man.
Greg Morse, he is saying, I stabbed her in the neck. What federal prison do you think I'm going to, Mr. Sheriff? I don't understand why there are no charges.
Well, again, the prosecution had a reason not to. They felt, it sounds like, this was in some fashion self-inflicted or not with a criminal intent. And the bigger problem now is this Ramon was effectively arrested when he was seized and put in handcuffs. The police don't have to say you're arrested for speedy trial purposes alone. So this much time after the incident, it would be hard to charge him anyway. And there may be issues with maintaining charges, even if they chose to.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so
I've tried cases that were over 20 years old. There's no statute of limitations on murder. And with these
tapes... It's not a statute of limitations issue. It's not a statute of limitations issue, Nancy. It's a de facto arrest situation. Once you are arrested, put in handcuffs, you're seized, like happened here, that starts the clock on speedy trial. Florida did change the law recently. I believe it was last year. So I haven't dealt with the issue under the new law recently.
Excuse me.
It's not just statute of limitations. It's also speedy trial issues that come up.
No. Speedy trial starts at the time of indictment. He was never detained behind bars. He walked free that night.
That was not the case in Florida. It wasn't just on indictment. You can have a de facto arrest. My point is that could be an issue. And then you have
so you admit there was not even an arrest. There was a simple detainment. They did not arrest him. They detained him for questioning and let him go.
As the defense lawyer, I would argue that he was de facto arrested to start the clock. And also, it's bizarre. It seems like the police are maybe trying to cover for mistakes because there's no reason why you wouldn't read him Miranda. Regardless if you arrest him or not, you would have read him Miranda right from the beginning with all of those circumstances. So his statements become an issue anyway, because I don't believe he was ever read Miranda, even if he was arrested. And there was enough to inform him of those rights. So the police have a lot of mistakes here, unfortunately, for this family. But they made a decision that he was not criminally liable here. Went on in
you know what's crazy? Under the Florida rule 3.191, as of 2026, speedy trial demand trigger event is filing of formal charges, not some BS de facto arrest that you're dreaming of. And I noticed you kept saying, and I know what this means, when you go, I would argue, which means this isn't the law, but this is what I would argue.
No, yeah. I said they changed the law. I'm looking at the code right now. Yes.
I'm looking at it in black and white. It starts at the filing of formal charges. I'm looking 2026.
We apply laws and statutes. I know they just changed it. We apply laws and statutes at the time the crime occurred. This may be seen as procedural. I just said they changed it. This does not alleviate the due process speedy trial, which is different than the state statutory.
Okay, good. While the parents are here crying about what happened to them, you're arguing about a de facto arrest. He was never arrested. He voluntarily spoke, which is significant under the law. You know, I get it.
He wasn't
to
free to
Mr.
leave.
Mr. and Mrs. Tarsinski, I understand why you're so upset, because you hear BS like what Morse is spouting.
All the time.
That's all we hear. They use the stuff we don't even know. They just give us... Bull. They really do. They have really no answer. That's what it is. They have no answer, so they're just going around in circles, just throwing stuff out like that. And that's
okay, guys. For everyone that has heard the voices of the parents tonight, we are calling on the U.S. Attorney in this Florida district, Gregory W. Kehoe, to intervene. Obviously, the local district attorney's office will not do the right thing. Let your voice be heard. The number for the U.S. Attorney, 813-274-6000. Repeat, 813-274-6000. Again, the boyfriend, Durst, has not been named a suspect. He is innocent unless and until he is proven guilty in a court of law. Repeat, 813-274-6000. We remember an American hero, Officer Caleb Abney, Hayhira PD, Hayhira, Georgia, just 25, killed in the line of duty, leaving behind a grieving family remembering their son. American hero, Officer Caleb Abney. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.